Captain Talent Radio.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I'm the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. Welcome to tonight's Tuesday night More Heart Than Talent call. Thank you, all of you, once again. The call is filled with people from the East Coast tonight, people that I've had the opportunity, friends and clients, to collaborate with some 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. Thank you very much for being on tonight's call. Bobby Robinson, who I did not hear him ring in tonight, has been on this call for 15-plus years. So I want to thank all of you for referring your team, your friends, your clients to tonight's call. I'm going to cover a few quick announcements and then move right into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. This Saturday, September 23rd, I will be in one of my hometowns, that is Kansas City, Missouri. Kansas City is a split city. Half of it's Kansas City, Kansas, Kansas City, Missouri. I'll be at one of those beautiful hotels at the Westin Crown Center. Hallmark, that's the home of Hallmark Cards. Hall's Cards is right there. It's a beautiful place to host an event at the Westin Crown Center and at Hall's Crown Plaza. And that's Midtown KC. I've been there a few thousand times. That is this Saturday, September 23rd. October 8th, I will be in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. That's also very close to Chicago. So if you live in the Chicagoland area, that's a great place for you to catch me in the only time I'm going to be close to Chicago this year. October 21st, and we have a contingency from New Jersey and New York coming to Albany, New York. I want to thank my great friend, Frank Pecoraro, for hosting that event. October 28th, I will be in Norwalk, Connecticut. November 11th, I will be in Orange County, California. November 18th, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And for the first time, I will host that event at the Marriott Airport Hotel. Typically, it is at the Hilton DoubleTree at the airport, but I'm going to move it to the Philadelphia Airport Marriott. That will be a fabulous event. That will be my last speaking engagement in Philadelphia. Unequivocally, one of my top five favorite cities I've ever spoken in the world. And I love all of you, all of my clients and friends that attend there. December 2nd, I will be in Atlanta. December 16th, I move my event from Long Island to Rye, New York, another beautiful area to host an event. And I'll be wrapping up the year on December 30th in Marina Del Rey, California. So those are my More Heart Than Talent events. I have one more Breakthroughs to Success event. If you've not attended a Breakthroughs and you're a coaching client, you have the opportunity in the year on December 7th, 8th, or 9th with Breakthroughs to Success number 119. And if you are a coaching client of mine, have purchased the Protégé Writer Speakers Workshop, which many of you on tonight's call have done that, on November 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, I have a very unique opportunity for you. I'm going to bring the world-renowned G. Edward Griffin. Now, Ed wrote the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Now, that event is typically for branding, selling, marketing, speaking, taking your presence online, how to run and own a business, how to write content, the inner game of business ownership and free enterprise. But for that event, I'm going to bring my good friend who is in his 80s, G. Edward Griffin, to speak at that event. Ed, unequivocally's content is one of a kind, and it will forever change your view of the Federal Reserve banking system, the banking system as a whole, the agenda, the world order, a lot of really, really very, very powerful and enlightening topics. Ed is a master at this. He also is very skilled in the art of cancer and many, many other healing modalities. He's one of the most unique individuals that I've ever met in my 60-plus years on this planet. I will also have his very good friend, Frederick Lehrman, who is the author of the highly inspiring audio series, Prosperity Consciousness. Now, Frederick is a very interesting person. Louise Hay attended one of Frederick's workshops in 1982 on couples and also purchased his audio program, Prosperity Consciousness, in the mid-90s. So Fred has been around a long time. These are two legends that are going to be at that event. Frederick will also be a guest on my call before the first of the year. Now, before I move into the content portion of tonight's call, for anyone on tonight's call who is relatively new, has never seen me speak, or you have seen me speak, and you've not taken advantage of one of my free 15-minute coaching sessions, you can contact me directly on Facebook. Facebook through Facebook Messenger and let me know what you'd like me to assist you with. I'll also be doing a Facebook Live tomorrow around 3 or 4 o'clock. And topic not to be, I haven't decided the topic, but more likely it will be on mentoring, the value of really having a mentor, being a mentor, and what it really requires to be a mentor. Leadership is being able to lead by example. Mentoring is more of a one-on-one proposition where you still really start to create that relationship and collaboration with someone in your team, your circle of influence, in a 12-step program, or any multitude of situations where you can really be there for someone and create the, and occasionally create the difference in someone else's life by the person that you have become yourself, and you're able to transmute some of those character-building moments. Now, tonight's call is dedicated to the psychology of money mastery, which is in alignment with two of the speakers who I have coming up speaking at the Protégé Writer Speakers Workshop. Money is a very interesting topic, and it's also a very controversial topic. Money is a requirement, not only in life, but especially in business, because it's important that you have a for-profit organization. And if you don't not have a business for profit, there's a high probability that your business will struggle. And because you have not been conditioned to succeed in business, you've been conditioned your education, you've been conditioned to get a job, and a job will typically pay you what a job is worth. Now, if you have a good job in today's society and you're making $250,000 a year, that would put you in the top 2% of the income earners in America. Whether that comes from a business or comes from a job, money in America breaks down to this, the LOF, the law of the few. Most of society, around 93%, achieves less than six figures. 7% of society achieves around the bottom of six figures, around $100,000 to $150,000 a year. A small percent achieves $250,000 to $500,000 on up into a million or multiple millions. Then when it comes to net worth, which is different than achievement of money, a net worth is what you have after tax money, and those are assets, not liabilities. So there are people who achieve seven figures, they're just as financially challenged as a person who achieves $100,000 or $60,000 because of their consumptive habits and money mistakes. Now, if you're on this call tonight and you seek to improve your awareness, have a better understanding of cause that creates the effect, effectively let go of the feelings shaped on events that shaped your dialogue with money, then the content I'm going to deliver for you will be very valuable. Now, if you're in free enterprise, your objective is to create value and service that allows you to command more for your presence, to command more for your time, to command more for your energy. Scarcity creates value, so as you start to become a very, very skilled commodity in your particular vocation, service, industry, your job or your business, then you're going to be able to command more. To be able to command more, you must feel you deserve more. To deserve more, you must be skilled in the habits, the mindset, and your particular vocation. Now, most jobs, as I said, will pay you what a job is worth. If you're a skilled professional athlete, then you are in a union more than likely. The NHL, the NFL, the National Basketball Association, Major League Baseball. Those are the four major sports. Then there's the minor sports. And then there's also tennis, golf, which also commands those can command a different kind of compensation. The four major league sports are a union. In tennis and golf, it's a different situation. You can earn a different, you get paid a different way that the free market bears. Those are individual sports, typically not team sports. Although there is team tennis, and there are all certain teams in golf, but you're going to get paid what the free market will bear. In the four major sports, those are unions. And those are virtually jobs, though you're not in free enterprise. Although you can command what the free market will bear, that's still not your business. If you're playing for a major league team, you can get cut, get injured, get waived, get let go, or any multitude of situations that if you have any challenges with the law or any other challenges that cause controversy, a team can let you go. If you own a business, you cannot get cut, you cannot get fired. The only way you can get fired is you fire yourself, and the way you're going to fail is you would quit. Now, when quitting is not an option, and you're in it to win it, and you're committed to the long-term process, that then you have to master the skills, the emotions, the habits, and the mindset of your vocation. And one of the most important commodities that you will learn to create is a relationship between time and money. Because your time is valuable, then you must become valuable. And so when you're valuable, you can command a price tag on your time. So if you're worth if an hour of your time is worth $500, then you're typically not going to give it away or waste it. Now, if you have challenges with this proposition because of your anxiety about guilt, shame, abandonment, rejection, overwhelmed feelings, anger, hate, resentment, guilt, and apathy, then you will live in an overwhelmed state, perpetuating the same set of feelings so that you can struggle. And if you're a noble struggler, then there's a high probability that money is a challenge as well. Now, as you begin to let go of your anxiety about asking, receiving, deserving, as you address your guilt with money, as you no longer live in lack, poverty, and you start to move into higher levels of consciousness, specifically a prosperity mindset, where you start to have healthy feelings about being in business, healthy feelings about who you're becoming. But if you live in a low level of emotional energy, anxiety, fear, and doubt, then you'll transmute your feelings at a very low level of emotional vibration. And that type of energy will not attract your reality, the people and situations that you can collaborate with to build businesses, enterprises, cultures, and teams. Now, as you begin to let go of the events that shape your feelings, you become a lot more aware and understand that you've been a career underachiever, that you have never really risen to the occasion when it comes to the ability to create money, capital, finance, value, and service, then you'll start to let go of the cause that creates the effect. Now, once you start to live in this space called conscious awareness, you're not the mind-body connection to your anxieties. So where does money come from? Well, money is a very interesting subject. I can turn around and look over my back. I have a bookcase in my office. Some of you have seen the bookcase that have been in my house, that specific one, or you can see it in my Facebook Lives, but that specific bookcase has about 200 books on the topic of money, finance, savings, and wealth management, wealth creation. It means that for many years I've studied and understood the laws that govern money, numismatic law. Now, what does that actually mean? It means that money does not have a conscious, but money does have an energy. Money doesn't care about you, but how you care about it. Money doesn't worry about you, but if you're worried about it, it can affect your ability to create the relationships, the products, the services, the benefits, the features, and the intellectual property that allow you to be and stay prosperous. But when your dialogue with money is not conducive to the creation of it, then you're in scarcity, poverty, and most importantly, lack. Now, if lack and poverty becomes a way of life for you, then you're going to live in a very low energy because you're going to spend a great deal of your time worried about what you don't have. And when you continue to speak lack and difficulty in your communication style, you're attracting to reality the very situation you seek to avoid. Now, when you become creative and innovative, and this would mean you'd have to get out of your comfort zone. It's very common for people to come to me and tell me they want to hire me, but, see, that's the contradiction that they communicate. I'd really like to hire you, but, see, the but means you're a contradiction. You're saying what you want and then finishing with what you don't want. Now, when you say, I really want to hire you and I'm going to create the finances, I'm committed to hiring you and I'm innovative and creative, I'll have the money in 24 hours, that's a different emotional experience. But when you tend to put life off, you'll tend to put money off. When you're a chronic procrastinator, a chronic avoider, it's going to show up in your bank account, it's going to show up in your money, it's going to show up in your relationships, it's going to show up in the way you operate. Now, when you no longer the mind-body connection, the events that shape your feelings, and you have a better context and understanding of why you do what you do, and you begin to let go of your compulsive spending habits, and you stop living in unresolved debt and you stop living in unsecured debt, then you start to change the way you feel about the creation of your creativity, your innovation, products, services, benefits, features, and your intellectual property. When you let go of being a noble struggler, achieving somewhere between $40,000 to $80,000 to $100,000 a year, and then you have more month left at the end of the money, then you're starting to raise your emotional vibration, your ability to ask, receive, and deserve. And if you own a business, you can't avoid learning sales skills. You can't avoid learning closing skills. Now, if you avoid them, then you will have a nonprofit organization from the discomfort of your home. Selling is an art. And to be able to effectively sell the dream, you have to have dreams of your own. It's pretty common for me to ask 9 out of 10 people what their dreams are, and the first words out of their mouth is, And they'll tell me what they think they're supposed to say about helping someone and blah, blah, blah. And they seldom ever really have the emotional clarity required to live your dreams. Your dreams must be a belief. But most people want to believe their dreams are going to happen as or when they happen, rather than believing in the beauty of their dreams before they start. It also happens a lot in times when people enter companies and businesses, they have to believe they have to be the product of the product before they can ever sell the product. Okay, there's merit to that. But if I start a business, I'm looking for someone who wants to commit today. I'm looking for someone who's ready to find their first two people today, not wait until everything is perfect. I'm looking for someone who's committed, not someone who's interested. And that kind of person who's commitment conscious typically has a money consciousness and a dialogue with money that's conducive to attracting the people who can create it. Now, unfortunately, what many people do is they go out and find charity cases, the most difficult people. They look for the people they can help. They look for the people they can enable. They look for the people they can do too much for and over-obligate so they can stay disappointed. Your objective is to be able to create a team of like-minded success seekers who are emotionally evolved, who typically don't live in an overwhelmed state, who aren't in anxiety most of their life, emotionally addicted to a set of feelings that they perpetuate over and over. Your objective is to attract and or develop or create people that you can collaborate with to create 6- and 7-figure residual income results with. As you start to have that kind of belief, you begin to change who and what you attract. As you're no longer the mind-body connection to the way that you grew up, the 20,000 meals with the wrong financial planners, a lot of your dialogue with money is going to be a direct reflection of who you associated with for the first 18 years of your life. This can be your family, people in your influence, people in your church, people that you grow up with, and evaluate and assess the way that money was discussed at your kitchen table, at your dining room table, at your grade school, at your high school. If you grow up in a system or a culture that speaks lack and poverty, well, it may or may not have an effect on your emotional state when it comes to creating money. But if you have guilt about money, if you're worried about money, if you're uncomfortable with money, then you'll attract to reality the people and situations that will foster those feelings. Now, as you start to let go, and what letting go means, it's not a how do I get asked daily, how do I? And many people say, no, you hate that. No, I don't hate it. I don't dislike it. But my question is never, how do you? Why do you? Why do you continue to perpetuate the same set of feelings and get the same result? If you don't understand the cause that perpetuates the effect, you'll recreate the same situation over and over to create a placebo effect that you are emotionally addicted to. Now, here's another situation that affects a large percent of society when it comes to wealth creation, being able to create money in motion. Your objective long term is be able to create enough money that your money can compensate you. Those are dividends. Your objective is to create some level of residual income that pays you so you're not trading time for that money. Now, that requires a dialogue with money that's conducive to the creation of it, the ability to attract the people and situations that you can collaborate and connect with, and your ideas to create money, that's innovation and creativity, your intellectual property, your ability to see the outcome before it happens. You want to be able to see how you can create money and create results and live in the solution. But if you constantly edify the problem, which is what most people do, they edify the problem. They speak their lack into existence. They speak their difficulty into existence. They perpetuate the same events over and over to fulfill the same feelings they're emotionally addicted. Now, these are some key skills that must be in alignment for you to be able to elevate yourself to higher levels of consciousness so you can begin to receive. First of all, you must have some level of comfort with yourself. I stated this to a woman today, and she said, that's uncomfortable. I was suggesting that she become comfortable, and while in mid-sentence she interrupts me and she tells me that she's uncomfortable being comfortable. Contradiction. That means you have to stop contradicting yourself. Especially when you hire someone to assist you, you'd want to learn your best not to be sensitive and defensive, and take insight into accordance rather than turn insight into sensitivity and defensiveness. If you're going to change, you can't address an addiction in sensitivity. You address an addiction in rigorous honesty. If you're not honest, then you're in denial. And as long as you stay in denial, then you'll pathologically lie to yourself that you're not an addict. And then you'll be one of these people, tell me you have a great childhood. 9 out of 10 people I encounter, one of the first situations I ask them, when I say, tell me a little bit about your childhood, the first words out of their mouth is, I had a great childhood. Now, that's typically a contradiction, especially when my client's overwhelmed, overweight, they have financial challenges, they have emotional challenges, but they live in a state of denial, perpetuating the same set of feelings over and over. So when I break down cause and effect for people, my objective is not to make your parents wrong or anyone wrong or whoever you grew up with. My objective is to assist you to understand what honesty means. You can't be honest when you're in denial. So when you're in denial, it means you live in a repressed emotional state, holding on to the same set of feelings over and over, telling yourself that changing is difficult. I mean, I know it myself. I was an addict for 14 years. I get it. I understand. I understand what being in control or being out of control means. I understand what it's like to spend the first few hours of the morning trying to figure out how you're going to stay an addict that day, how you're going to avoid being an addict today. And then you just give up being an addict today because you're overwhelmed being an addict today, then your day is shot. And when your day, oftentimes I would ruin my day in the morning so I wouldn't have to be responsible in the afternoon or the evening. And if you can relate to that, then you've been where I've been before. But if when you hit rock bottom emotionally, physically, spiritually, you're emotionally bankrupt, spiritually bankrupt, well, you don't have to go any further. And if you're there tonight, I commend you for being on this call tonight. And if you're emotionally challenged, financially challenged, you're in a slump, I can relate. I've been there a time or a thousand. But when you reach a state where you will not be denied, when you live in the solution, not the problem, when you create results, not excuses, then your game changes. And then all of a sudden, people begin to show up. I had that happen to me today. I had a gentleman reach out to me who has a large organization. He lives in Costa Rica. He has a worldwide organization of internet marketers. He wants me to assist him with a series of calls. I mean, there's no accident that through the science of attraction, we attract our reality situations to fulfill our feelings. So when you're in a money lack and a money scarcity and you have the opportunity to take advantage of a situation and your automatic response is, I don't have the money, well, WTF, what's going to happen to the very next prospect you encounter? You're going to attract your reality to the same situation. I remember earlier in my career, one of my mentors covering what it means to be in broke thoughts. Broke thoughts are what keep most people broken. And broke thoughts are the same thing over and over, expecting a series of different results. And as you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shape your feelings, then you're in a space where you effectively began to let go. Broke thoughts keep you broken emotionally. Broke thoughts are money worry. When you worry about money, you attract your reality, the same situation over and over, and then you create the same situation to fulfill your feelings. It's the loop that most people never get out of. They chronically debt, they chronically spend, they live in liability debt, they live in school loan debt, they live in mortgage debt. And debt becomes a way of life. So there's no money when you're in debt. Money becomes an enemy. Money becomes futile. Money becomes a ghost. And it's the ghost of money that most people never really overcome. One of the best books that I suggest that you could purchase is Making Peace with Money, Jared Mundus. It is a fabulous book. I've had that book for over 20 years. Making Peace with Money. There's another book called Your Money or Your Life by Joseph Dominguez. That book is used in Debtors Anonymous. That also is a first-class book that can give you great insight into the cause that creates the effect of why people do what they do. As you are in this process of letting go, understanding why you do what you do, as you start to move out of fear, doubt, and anxiety, and you take a deep breath, and you realize that you're here one day at a time. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. What you have today is the present. As you begin to live in present moment awareness, then you're not overwhelmed and worried about what hasn't happened. And then you don't live in regret of the past. And you're not worried about someone violating you, hindering you, hurting you. And you're not worried about what people are going to say, what they're going to do. You're able to effectively, easily, and effectively let go. But when you're in control of your control, you're out of control. And this also affects your ability to attract the people that you can create money. You also must understand in business that it's not money that you attract, it's people. And then in business, it's products, services, benefits, and features. And then you learn to sell the dream. If you're in a company and you're a representative of a company, an independent contractor on a 1099, and you're an entrepreneur in a company, that can be a huge advantage to you because you don't have to have the employees, you don't have to have the overhead, but you still have to be able to market, brand, sell, ask, receive, and deserve. So the most fundamental situation when it comes to improving your dialogue with money is you improve your dialogue with yourself. That means you're lovable, you're capable, you're good enough. But when you continue to perpetuate and speak into existence your lack, your difficulty, and then you're highly critical of yourself, then your emotional state drops down to a very low level of vibration. And as you learn to let go, as you're in the present, in the moment, as you're here and you're now, as you're able to let go and be present, and you're able to live here, then you're not creating anxiety about the outcome. And then when it comes to selling, branding, and marketing, once again, you're not attracting money. You're being able to take goods to the free market. You're being able to be a brand partner for your company. You're able to take your products and services and goods to the free market. And your objective when you're communicating with people is you want to find qualified buyers. For you to have the money move, it's important that you attract the people who can see the value. Now, you're going to encounter objections, and some of the most common objections that you're going to encounter over and over is people are going to say, this sounds good, but I don't have the money. Now, they're going to say that over and over and over, and even though many people believe they mean it, they all could get it, whether it's $30, $300, $3,000, $30,000, a qualified buyer, someone who's committed, will find the money. But someone who has money excuses, they typically come up with money excuses autonomically, automatically. It's also your responsibility to understand that when someone gives you a money objection, that doesn't always mean that's the real reason. A large percent of the reason people use money as their objection is because they can't commit, they can't decide. They're not certain. They're overwhelmed. They have anxiety about the outcome. They want to think about it. They want to vacillate on it. They want to educate themselves on it. They want to do everything but make a decision. Now, it's important that you understand that a large percent of society is commitment phobic. As you begin to understand how most of society has been conditioned to give, they're not skilled at receiving. Now, factor that a large percent of society tends to get overwhelmed and over-obligate themselves. They tend to enable others. They do too much for others. Now, doing for others is a skill, but when doing for others becomes an identity, then there's a high probability that person has crossed the bridge, and doing for others becomes an identity, becomes an addiction. Now, those kinds of feelings tend to lead to being enablers, codependents, over-obligators. And if you're listening to this call or this content and you feel that you have some of those tendencies, then there's a book called Codependent No More by Melody Beatty that can give you great insight into the cause and the effect of why so much of society, myself included, will tend to over-obligate themselves, do too much for others, set themselves to be disappointed, and then be resentful. And this can definitely affect your money. If you're building a culture a team of like-minded entrepreneurs coming together for common causes, then your objective is to be able to have a few people who can produce the sales volume, the results. They have influence, they have affluence, they know of people, and they have the ability to magnetize to the reality people in situations that can foster the cause of their or your organization. Now, these people tend to have charisma. However, most of society lives in anxiety. Most of society lives in a low level of emotional vibration, anxiety, fear, and doubt, perpetuating the same feelings over and over. Then they have challenges articulating their feelings in their words. They have challenges with clarity. They have challenges with their communication skills. And most importantly, they don't have dreams. They don't have dreams. They don't have clarity about the outcome. These people tend to accept what society will give them. This is why people will take jobs that barely pay their rent or barely pay their mortgage payment. And this is why so many people end up in debt, because they use money as a way to fulfill their low self-esteem. They'll use liability debt at high rates of interest, not understanding the money they're borrowing, the terms they're borrowing the money on, not understanding the situation they got themselves into in a risk and reward situation, then they go bankrupt. And then, unfortunately, many people that go bankrupt, they go bankrupt more than one or two times. They tend to be chronic debtors, chronic spenders. And then there's the type of personality who's the big deal chaser. There's a large percent of society who speaks in big deals. They speak in big situations. Everything they're going to do is going to be big. However, their habits don't match their talk. And that type of person is typically called a poser. Or in the book Money Drunk, Money Sober, they're called a big deal chaser. They're the idealist of society. They're going to walk the stage of life. They're going to be, when you ask them goals, their goals are big. They're bombastic. Their goals are stupendous. They're going to crush it. However, typically they don't have a method. They don't have a system. They don't have a routine. And these are the type of people who tend to talk big, and then they leave your team, your organization, relatively quickly. And the more you understand to meet people where they are, the more you understand that human beings are predictable, it will assist you to assess the talent that will allow you to create the results so you can live the good life. One of the main reasons you want to become skilled at money is it gives you options. So if you want to be a philanthropist, it's usually easier to do that situation when you have money. Now, you can also be very skilled at charitable acts of kindness and philanthropic goals and idealisms, but you also want to be able to have the money to support the causes that you want to create, or be able to attract the people who can foster your feelings about those causes. So another one of the many reasons you want to be able to create money is so that you live free of debt. Now, debt oftentimes is money that's lent that doesn't actually exist. It's paper money, and it's typically paper money backed by a certain amount of assets, and then the lending institutions of America charge multiple levels of interest on that money. So in today's world, you can get a 15-year loan on a home somewhere in the 3% range. Now, that would be a relatively good loan, especially if you put a down payment on it somewhere around 20% or more. So that means when you start making payments on your property, that you're paying into the principal. Now, I recently had someone who was in her 60s. She just got a divorce. She got a small settlement. She was going to run out and buy a house. I said, that's the worst thing you could do right now, rent. She goes, well, I heard that it's going to cost me more money to rent than it would to buy. Actually, it wouldn't. In her case, at her age, it makes a lot more sense to rent than to put herself in liability debt, and she, of course, is going to get a 30-year loan. The American populace does not understand typically the terms that money is lent at. This is why people go to college at 6.9%, 8%, not really understanding the terms of the loan, not understanding the payment plan or the payment system. Then they're shocked when they get their first payment, and then they don't even understand that the interest on a front-loaded loan is going to be exorbitant. So if you're making a $1,500 payment, and your interest is about 8%, well, there's a high probability that about $1,100 to $1,200 of that is going to the interest, not to the principal. This is your responsibility, the ability to respond, to understand the laws that govern money. But you can't understand money by living in denial. If money intimidates you, understand that money isn't intimidating. Money intimidates you because of your anxiety about the scarcity you grew up in. And you have to be able to educate yourself when it comes to the laws that govern money. In the mid to late 90s, Kiyosaki comes out with his book, Cash Flow Quadrant, and he starts to write a series of books on that. In the late 80s and 90s, an author named Stanley writes the book, The Millionaire Next Door. He writes the book, The Millionaires Next Door, Millionaire Mind. He interviews over 732 millionaires and compiles the data that creates the laws of predictability of who has the money in America and the world. The average millionaire in America is in their late 40s, early 50s. They own a small business, oftentimes in the comfort of their home. They usually have less than 3 to 0 employees. They have an average income earning of around $400,000 a year and a net worth of several million. Now, that's the average millionaire millionaires in America. And the game is changing. More millionaires are emerging faster today than any other time in the history of America. You have to ask yourself, why not me? Why not now? And as you begin to understand that it's your responsibility, and it's your responsibility to be skilled at asking, receiving, deserving, branding, selling, and marketing, and then your communication skill, you start to create a communication skill that's conducive to an outcome that's favorable, then you're aligning yourself with a whole different type of energy, and in that energy you can attract to reality the law of the few, the few people who you can that you can partner with, the few people who actually see what you see, provided you have a vision. But if you don't really have a vision about your future, then you'll accept someone else's vision in a place called a job. But if you live in overwhelmed anxiety, you procrastinate, you get ready to get ready, your habits aren't conducive to creating results and solutions, then you'll be the one that's left at the end of your life, can't afford your funeral, liability debt. If you're not planning strategies for your retirement, I mean, when are you ever going to get around to it? The time to plan your strategies is when you don't have the money, so that when you have it, you already have it in place, or you have an idea of it. Most people wait to the last minute when it comes to money. They wait to the last minute to make a payment. I've actually seen people hold on to money that they have, miss payments because they're afraid they won't have money in the future, and then get foreclosed on or get sent to collection agencies even though they have the money, because their feelings about money. Money does not have feelings. It's your feelings about it that determines your ability to create and attract or repel and stay in liability debt. Now, you have to decide what's going to be more empowering to you, liability debt or assets. Would you rather have wages or profits? That's a direct reflection of the great Jim Rohn. Well, obviously, profits. Profits are better than wages. So that means your objective is to create a for-profit business from the comfort of your home. Now, what does that actually look like? It looks like, number one, you have a habit and a routine. It means that you are skilled at being able to create a vocation where you can create a lifestyle and you can create the money transactions. It means that you're skilled at self-esteem. It means that you not only have confidence, but you have self-esteem. Confidence is how you feel about a situation or a job or a task. Self-esteem is how you feel about yourself, meaning you move out of denial. You're living in honesty. You're living in integrity. You don't tell yourself lies. You're not critical of yourself. You're objective. You understand what's required of you to change and succeed, and you do it very systematically, methodically, one day at a time. If you're going to be wealthy in America, it's probably not going to be overnight. You're going to be wealthy over a long-term career, and you also become skilled at the creation of money. You have a dialogue with money that's conducive to saving money. Now, here's a very interesting concept when it comes to the term saving. We are led to believe that if we save money, the money will save us. Well, money doesn't have that kind of conscience. Money's not going to save you, and you can also have money, attract money, and create money and still have low self-esteem. But if you're not comfortable with what you create, then it's going to inhibit your ability to be creative. If you're not comfortable with what you created, it's going to inhibit your ability to be able to enjoy it. Your objective is to be able to create money free of guilt from your own integrity. But if you're guilty or feel shame about money, then you're going to have challenges being able to keep it in motion. When it comes to money, your objective is not to store it, warehouse it. Your objective is to be able to create assets and put it in motion, or be able to put that money back into circulation in causes that inspire you. Now, when you're comfortable with money, Money will show up as a direct reflection of your either comfortability or your uncomfortability. If you're uncomfortable with money or the creation of it or the ability to be in free enterprise, then you'll be more than likely in a money scarcity. The more comfortable you come in the process of success, free enterprise, building and owning a business, understanding tax laws, understanding what profit dollars mean, profit and loss statements, understanding how to have a budget, run a business, as you start to educate yourself rather than medicate yourself. What many people do is they medicate themselves emotionally. They medicate themselves in anxiety, creating the same situation over and over to fulfill a familiar feeling. But as you start to create financial literacy and create financial independence, you'll start to let go of the debt cycle and denial. As you start to create results and create assets, you'll understand investing, and it's a whole different situation. You can open any kind of broker account on any given day. My 25-year-old millionaire apprentice, Alec Friel, day trades. How did he learn? By going online. He learned some basic skills, and he has a good money discipline. He invests small amounts daily and weekly, and he's watched them start to accrue. You could do the same situation. You can save money simply and easily by setting aside a 1, a 5, a 10, a 20, or a 100 a week. You can dedicate it to a white envelope. Italian money is what it's called. Being able to put money in that envelope, that takes money discipline. But if you're not disciplined with yourself, it'll show up in money. Now, if you have money discipline, you want to also be able to enjoy money. A major component of having money, creating money, is the joy of it without feeling guilty. But you can also hoard money, be skilled at creating money, and not ever enjoy it. And if that's you, then there's a high probability that you'll have challenges being able to enjoy relationships. And as you begin to let go of the cause that creates the effect of why you do what you do, you become more skilled in your creativity and your innovation, there's a high probability that you'll start to attract a different kind of person and a different kind of situation to your reality. In the laws that govern attraction, attraction is a science. When you live in an overwhelmed, anxious state of fear and doubt, your emotional energy is very low. As you move into conscious awareness and you live a lot more in bliss and joy, and you're inspired when you wake up in the morning. You go to bed inspired. You seldom get overwhelmed. You spend a great deal of your time in production and relaxation. And you're able to produce free of guilt, and you're able to relax free of guilt. But if you feel guilty when you're relaxing, then your relaxation isn't conducive to rest. Your body requires rest, but when you're in fight or flight at night and you toss and turn, you're not resting. You're in anxiety. And many people take their anxiety to bed with them, then they don't rest, then they wake up in an emotionally overwhelmed state, then their body runs their brain. If you grew up in a household where there's violence, addictions, there's dysfunction, there's a high probability that those events shaped your feelings. Those feelings become a mood, those moods become an identity, then your body runs your brain. You react rather than respond. You check out, think, process, analyze, validate, justify, and explain. Well, that kind of communication style based on those events will not be conducive to creating connections. Owning a business means you have to be able to connect with people through the power of the spoken word, the written word, through multiple mediums of self-improvement and multiple mediums of online marketing and branding. And you start to be able to do that so you can express yourself. But if you have challenges expressing yourself, it's because you're overwhelmed. You don't know what to say. You don't know what to do. You don't know who to be. You don't know where to start. And don't know becomes a huge component of your communication style. When you use the words always, I'm always procrastinating, I'm always late, that becomes an absolute. You can't change that until you become aware of why you do what you do. When you're an always person, I'm always behind, I'm always struggling, you're speaking into existence the very reality you seek to avoid to fulfill your low self-esteem and your anxiety. Most people don't even know how often they say always. They don't know how often they say need or just. They don't understand how often they say kinda, sorta. Most of society answers a question with the sound followed by a preposition well, and then they tell a story. Very ineffective communication style. As you start to really dial in, hone in, understand, get clear, be clear, as you start to let go of your anxiety based on past events, your energy shifts, it changes. This can show up in your inbox, it can show up in your leads, it can show up in who shows up. And a different kind of situation avails itself. You have to be ready. You have to be able to make your move before you're ready. Most people are going to make their move when it's perfect. I'm going to hire you when. I'm going to do this when. Instead of being resourceful and creative, I'm going to start on the product when my check comes. Well, I understand that, but most people don't have a sense of urgency. And they definitely won't have a sense of urgency if you don't convey that you have one. But when you are anxious and overwhelmed and have challenges asking the questions in a sequence, have challenges closing a sale, it's a direct reflection of your emotional state. It's going to hinder your ability to be creative and innovative. To be able to attract people and be able to create money, you have to be creative and innovative. That's the value of your ideas. Instead of asking me, where do I get leads? How do I get leads? Be creative. Create your own leads. It's not a how do I, it's why aren't you. It's an I am state. When you start to step into I am state, now you're neutralizing the past and letting go of the worry about the future. As you learn to live here and now in the present, then you're not going to worry as much about what hasn't happened. You're going to focus more on what you can create. When you become creative, you start to eliminate and neutralize a lot of your anxiety. When you're innovative, it means you're solution-oriented. But when you live in the problem, that means you're overwhelmed. When you're overwhelmed, you're neurochemically addicted to a set of feelings that you perpetuate over and over to fulfill your low self-esteem. As you start to move into higher levels of consciousness, you start to create clarity. You start to breathe differently. Instead of living in a short breath syndrome, you begin to live in your conscious awareness. You breathe deeper. You let go more frequently. You're able to separate your feelings from events that shape them. You don't give power and energy to the perpetrators and violators that use guilt to continue to control you. You don't let people come visit you that you don't want to come visit you. You're able to have healthy boundaries. So many people can't say no because they're chronic over-obligators, enablers, servers, and givers. Now, in context, giving and serving can be good, but once again, when giving and serving is your identity, it doesn't give you room to be anything but that. In the same situation with procrastination, I always procrastinate. I'm always late. When you speak into existence absolutes, then you absolutely attract your reality, the very situations, to fulfill your feelings. When your focus is being anxious, and most people don't even understand this, many people focus on being anxious. Sounds like a contradiction, but they speak their anxiety into existence. I'm always worried. That means that's their focus. So when you speak like that, your subconscious and unconscious doesn't separate fact and fiction. That's your focus. When that focus is your identity, this leaves you no margin to change. This is what an addict does. An addict always wants a little more. Addicts talk like addicts. Addicts aren't clear. Addicts don't have clearly defined goals. Addicts stay overwhelmed most of the time. Addicts consistently talk about always. I'm always overwhelmed. I'm always eating. I'm always late. Always becomes their identity. There's no margin for anything other than always. That becomes a focus. Most of society has no idea of the word choices they use in the English language structure that they use. It's amazing how the way people speak. Now, as you become a wordsmith, a person of influence and affluence, you're in the process of change and the evolution, and you really understand the inner game of why people do what they do, you can sit back and have conversations with people and know in 5, 10, 15, 30 seconds whether you want to spend any time with this person. You'll be able to tell quickly because of people's telegraphs and clues, their emotional state, their eye iris, how they check out when you ask them a question. Their communication style is not conducive to answering a question. They talk in riddles and stories. You're able to tell a lot about a person by asking a few simple questions in a sequence. To be able to do that, you effectively have to let go of your anxiety about an outcome that hasn't happened, not be worried and anxious about being rejected or abandoned, not worry about what your friends and family is going to think, and you start to live in a place called genuine authenticity. As you start to live in that space, then you're no longer the mind-body connection, your anxiety. As you start to live in rigorous honesty, you're no longer the anxiety that you perpetuate over and over. Now, these skills require skills. One of them is to answer a question. I watch how many people can't answer a question. Let me rephrase that. It's not that they can't, they don't. They don't answer a question to protect themselves from saying the wrong thing, from making the wrong assessment, from stating the wrong answer. They say and well frequently in their communication style. They have gaps and delays in their communication. It hinders their ability to sell, market, and brand. And if you seek to become successful in any kind of organization that requires sales, branding, marketing, and scheduling skills, and you got to be skilled at them. That's the repetition and experience, practice over and over in an light state of being to where what you're doing becomes effortless. But when you live, when you're a struggler, when life is hard, you're going to create situations to fulfill those feelings. You're going to make situations difficult to be disappointed. You're going to speak about how situations are difficult. You're going to talk about difficulty. You're going to talk yourself right into being overwhelmed. That's what most of society does. And then they say, I don't know how I got here. I don't understand it. I had a great childhood. This is how many people stay in denial, overwhelmed. For you to be able to live a prosperous, good life, it's going to be important that you have the communication skills to create the situations, to create money skills. Your communication skills determine what kind of people you attract to your reality. Your communication skills coupled with your emotional etheric energy. And if your energy is conducive to attracting people that have higher vibrations, well, you enhance your law of average. When you have sexual energy, not sexuality, and you're not using sex to attract people, but your sexual energy is your power. That's the energy that emanates from you, that comes through from you. That's the energy that people feel. That's charisma. That kind of energy comes from your lower abdomen. It doesn't come from your throat, your larynx. It doesn't come from the neocortex of your left brain. It comes from you being an energetic being, an enlightened being. As you start to live in that kind of space, then your synchronicity begins to change. The law of alignment starts to be in a daily occurrence. I mean, you're sitting at home, all of a sudden someone calls you up and they're ready to join your team. They hire you on the spot. When that happens to you, especially when it happens frequently, then you've crossed over. You've crossed over from anxiety, fear, and doubt to consciousness and enlightenment. And as you start to live in those two energies, your creativity is heightened. Your clarity is a lot clearer. The diseases in your body tend to go away. You start to live a much healthier spiritual lifestyle. You don't worry about situations that haven't happened. It's not because you have money. See, you can have money and still worry, but when you're able to create money effortlessly, then you're not worried. But the minute you start worrying about money, you begin to shut down the very creation of the people that you can collaborate with to create it. You want to have prosperous thoughts about money, prosperous thoughts about asking, receiving, and deserving. You want to be able to easily and effortlessly and effectively let go of the cause that creates the effect of why you do what you do. You want to move out of a state of denial and out of the state of I don't know. You do know because you witnessed it. You lived through it. If you repress it or suppress it, that's a different situation. That's what many addicts do to stay addicted so they don't have to face the facts or face the addiction. In reality, the sobriety that you would create by letting go of your anxiety is so much more liberating than staying overwhelmed and anxious. It's a complete contradiction to the way most people go about it. I'll change when I'm ready. I'll change when I'm at rock bottom. I'll hire you when I have the money. I'll get started on that wellness product down the road. This is what many people do. They delay the connection. They delay the commitment because they're commitment phobic. As you begin to have a better understanding and awareness of these very situations I'm covering tonight, your game changes, your energy changes, who and what. Who and what shows up begins to change. People show up in your inbox. They say, I don't know what you do, but I want to join you. You're able to close a transaction in one conversation because you've attracted a qualified buyer. This is where the commerce begins, the compounded effect. That qualified buyer actually comes to you because it's a different kind of person you've ever attracted before, and they actually have clarity and a vision. They become certified, qualified in day number one of their first day in business. They go out and attract the first two customers or whatever they do in your pay plan, and they're in business. This is a sign, a clue of the journey that your attractor factor future is changing. But even then, you can't get overwhelmed and start to create expectations that will disappoint me. You learn to watch what men and women do, not say. You meet people where they are, and you start to become a much more greater, you become much more aware of cause and effect, people's predictability, why they do what they do. But especially, you become aware of what you do. As you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events, your energy shifts, it changes, you're in a higher level of consciousness. The books you read, the CDs and podcasts you listen to, it's great that you're doing that, but are you applying them? Is there practical application? Are you in the wish focus of the business? You wish the door was unlocked to the safe. You wish that you could win the lottery. You wish that someone would recognize you. Well, that's typically not going to happen, although, you know, miracles do happen, but you're going to earn your own respect so you can have other people respect you. As you're no longer the mind-body connection, the overwhelmed events that shaped your anxieties, you're going to start to live at a much higher level of consciousness, awareness, love, joy, bliss, enlightenment. As you start to live in those phases of life, you start to emit and transmit a different level of emotional energy. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I am the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. It's my absolute privilege and pleasure to be able to share with you in tonight's Tuesday night call. This call has officially been recorded. It will be available on Podomatic tomorrow at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, noon Eastern. As I stated earlier, I'll be having a series of guests on this call before the calendar year 2017 is over. Thank you for being on tonight's call, and have a great evening, everyone.